When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
I'm in the washing machine. I'm here to get myself clean. And I go round and round and round and round and round. I'm getting lost in the clothes. They're smelling socks up my nose. And I go round and round and round and round and round.
Oh, that is Johnny and the Raindrops. They play Jump Up and Down, Rocking and Rolling, Can't Sit Down, Best Time Ever Music for Children and Families. And they're on the playlist for Laundry that was made by Tim Lintz out in London. Thank you, Tim, for keeping this active. Welcome to the podcast for Laundry. It's the only podcast that's meant to be listened to while you're doing your laundry. So pop in a load, grab your seventh Jenny if you're like me, and let's get a wash started. And I will be your host for this episode, as I always am. I'm Brett Davis. I'm a laundrydian. I've got many shows coming up at the LOL Comedy Club. I am happy to announce that I have an official slot. They got tired of figuring out times for me. So now I am just every night at 2:30 a.m. I am at the closing down the old LOL Comedy Club as a headliner. So if you go to Times Square and then just go to the big comedy club, but the fourth biggest comedy club in Times Square, you'll see me at 2:30 a.m. I guess I'm headlining. But speaking of headlining, we got a star on this episode. Ziwei Fumino.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to do some laundry with you.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the podcast for laundry. I will just do some quick housekeeping because this is a show about, keeping things clean. On the table here, I've got a bottle of Seventh Generation, which used to be a bottle of Tide, but I had a falling out with the Procter & Gamble Corporation. So if at any point you want to turn the tide of the conversation, all you do is you got to grab Jenny, not too hard though, and spin her right around so that the label faces me, and you will turn the tide of the conversation.
Oh, I see what you did there. That's pretty creative, man.
Yeah, I'm trying to work on one that fits the Seventh Generation bottle.
Ah, like these kids are the seventh generation of hell, like that.
Yeah, but more like turn the tide. So you're a very famous comedian.
I don't know why you keep saying that. I'm a regular comedian just like you in these streets.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I'm headlining.
I'm a laundrydian.
Yeah, you're a laundrydian. Yeah. Headlining at 2:30 a.m. LOL Comedy Festival. Yeah.
You should, Comedy Club.
Comedy Club, excuse me.
Do you hit LOL a lot?
I don't, but I should. It sounds like a good place to go up, especially so late at night or early in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, we get these tourists and they're still on, Belgium time or something.
Yes, 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 yes. I love performing in front of tourists who don't understand a word of what I'm saying.
That's the thing. And I've learned to become more more facial expressions.
Exactly.
Like, I guess it's not helpful for anybody that's listening, but I'll kind of like say a joke and then I'll go like, oh.
Yes, he's gasping and his nose is wrinkling. There's a lot of detail going on right now.
Eyes were bugging out of my head.
And his nose was bleeding.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was honestly beautiful.
Sorry about the bloody nose.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I've been doing this weird thing.
Cocaine?
No. after shows, I'm kind of, like you do a show and you've got this like energy that you want to get out of your system.
Yes, the natural high of comedy live. Mm-hmm.
And, I'm just kind of like, I get out and I things are kind of closing because it's Times Square. this is like, 3:15. Yeah, I'll usually get out. I do my 15 at 2:30.
Uh-huh.
Place closes at 3. Yeah. I hang out, you know.
You hang out, the green you make room. Friends.
Yeah.
And you know how what they say about New York, the city that goes to sleep.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. But, you know, Times Square, you know, all these, you know, it's like a lot of chain restaurants and stuff. They're all kind of closing. The bars, they want to start pushing people out. So I'm just like, you know, I'm raring to go still. So, you know, Times Square isn't what it used to be, but you could still find some
hookers.
People. No. Well, yes. You can still find some hookers, but you have to know where to look. Yeah, I just kind of run into people on the street. And if I see that they want to fight and I want to fight.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You fight strangers.
Mm-hmm.
That's worse than looking for drugs or prostitutes.
Why?
Because you shouldn't assault people.
No, I kind of there's an unspoken agreement. And like I said, these are, you know, tourists. They're looking for the New York experience. They come to Times Square.
To get their ass beat.
Well, yeah. They've watched these movies from the 70s, you know. We're watching
movies?
Serpico.
Oh, yes.
Or
cult classic, yeah. Serpico.
Scorsese movies. They want that old New York.
Exactly.
Even the Joker.
Yeah, you're right. Where you can buy porn off of halal truck, and get your face punched in by a man named Jimmy.
Or Brett.
Or Brett.
Yeah. You know, the Joker, it's Gotham City where it takes place, but it's like, it's basically New York. And, you know, they see a guy that comes out of a comedy club and he's, you know, maybe looking to cause a little anarchy. That's sort of me.
You are an anarchist.
I'm an anarchist pretty much between the hours of 3 to 5 a.m.
Oh, it's like the purge. You get like a reserve time and then otherwise you live your life as a law-abiding citizen.
Mm-hmm.
That's brave, honestly.
Yeah.
A little stressful. I don't want to be around you after 12 midnight, but...
Well, I mean, don't you become a different person when you like go on stage? You gotta be bigger and bolder.
I become a different person for sure, yeah. But I've never hit anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Have I? I was in a fight when I was like in third grade with this guy named Joel.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's about it, man.
So why'd you fight Joel?
Because we were third graders. We're stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you got a little rush out of it.
Did I get a sick thrill out of beating up a child? You know, no, I did not. I'm not sick of
like you. Well, you were also a child, though. You make it sound like you're some freak.
Some old freak. Oh,
I'm not
my God.
Going out and beating up children.
You aren't. Okay, that's relieving because that was not clear.
Yeah, no, I look for people. We have this sort of like unspoken agreement, like lock eyes, puff out the chest, you know, put a little bass in the voice and then start squaring up.
You go, hey, bro, hey, bro. Or you just go, hey, bro, until you guys eventually lock chests.
Come at me, bro, is, you know, a nice sort of like, hey, are we in this or are we doing like, are we doing this?
Yeah. I see. It's a heat check.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. And, you know, I think it's like hanging out at LOL, you know, it's not really like these alt comics, you know.
You're not an alt comic.
Not anymore, no. I've kind of, you know, I used to do all these bits that were like kind of experimental, character-y pieces, interactive stuff. Now I'm just the Laundridian, so I go on stage, I'm kind of like a Larry the Cable Guy. But if Larry the Cable Guy only did jokes about being a cable guy.
Oh, what's your set like?
Well, I can give you comp tickets, actually.
Yeah, please.
If you're free, and pretty much any night at 2:30.
I'm free every night at 2:30.
Well, great. You could come by and see what I do, you know?
Oh, my God. I love the idea of you being like, these socks are hard and itchy.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine that's the straightforward stand-up comedian version of...
Yeah, sort of, yeah. You know, I have my catchphrase, which is... Hello, and I sort of bang the mic against my head.
Is anybody here?
Yeah, yeah. And then I say like spin cycle,
and everyone goes spin. It's like Arsenio Hall show.
I really try to just get the energy up because people are fading.
I mean, at 2:30, and they're tourists. You've really got to do a lot of physical bits.
Yeah, yeah. So I just try to keep the energy up. But, you know, and then I'm hanging out in the green room and these guys are a little more salt of the earth comics, you know, like these are, a fingerless glove wearing.
Oh, God.
Bad boys.
Oh, my goodness. I hate the idea of like bad boy comedians. It makes me feel absolutely wild.
I mean, I'm trying to do that.
You are. You're trying to be a bad boy comedian. Yeah. What does that even mean?
Well, you know, it's just like after the show, we do some shots, we shoot the shit.
So you can do that. Anybody can do that.
Yeah, but then we talk about like doing reps and stuff.
Oh, yeah, like getting up.
Yeah.
That sounds chill.
Yeah. You know, I used to be more friends with like the bookish types or the more artistically inclined. Now I'm just kind of meeting these like, you know, Joe Lunch Pails.
Yes. Club comics.
Club comics. Yeah.
Damn.
And I'm, you know, enjoying it. I feel like I'm growing more into that.
I'm glad you could find a community of men just like you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all men, yeah. Unfortunately.
I imagine.
We'd love to get some more girls in there, but
I'm sure they'd love to be there.
The booker just says they can't find funny ones.
Oh, I mean, damn, that's a cold world.
Yeah.
Women are not funny.
I think there are many funny women. You're
funny.
Oh,
name
woman.
Them. Thank you.
Z-Wa.
Thank you. That's one person. Mm-hmm. The idea that you even have to name someone is so patronizing. You're part of the problem. Brett.
The problem is that this booker just can't find funny girls.
Damn.
And it's
the problem is all the funny girls he finds, he sleeps with.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I can't have her. It's going to be awkward.
And that's tough.
Yeah. So I'm kind of enjoying this new world I'm leaning into. And these guys, you know, the machismo kind of rubs off on
machismo. Me. Machismo. You know what's interesting? I'm really attracted to like really like hyper masculine people.
Thank you.
But then I talk to them and then I hate them. Oh. So I think I'm attracted to them until I meet them.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you should meet the guys.
Yeah, that was not a compliment. That was an insult to you. I was like attracted to you and now I'm like, ugh, this laundrist sucks.
A laundrist.
Laundrian? What is it?
Laundridian.
Laundridian, okay. Yeah.
A laundress sounds like a negative.
No, that sounds cute, like laundress, like countess.
That's right.
Duchess, laundress.
What's your turge?
What does that mean? Oh, my turgeon of choice? I don't know. I drop it off somewhere. So whatever they like to use over there.
Okay.
I like Tide because I grew up with Tide.
Yeah.
But I would never align myself with a laundry detergent because I'd take a sponsorship from anyone. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I was a very pro Tide person. Mm. And I do this thing where I write these like laundry novelty songs.
Oh, yes. Was that a laundry novelty song that opened the show?
I think it was more of a children's song about doing laundry. It was more informational.
It's for fucking babies.
Edutainment.
Baby.
It's not for babies. Johnny and the Raindrops, they write lively, innovative songs that get children and grown-ups dancing, moving, and singing and grooving.
Oh my God. Do you think that you can get paid as a child performer for children? Not as a child performer, but like the Wiggles. You think they're getting paid?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd love to get an earlier slot at LOL for the kids.
Yeah.
You know?
At 12 p.m.
Oof, that would
that's
be great.
Headlining. Oh my God, that's before nap naps.
And I could just, you know, in between, I could just crash on the green room couch.
Exactly. Yeah. And what if you just live there, hypothetically?
That would be great because then I'd save the commute. And, you know, I'm sort of, not to be all Pete Holmes, but I'm crashing these days.
Ooh, is that what crashing's about? Crashing on someone's couch?
Yeah, I think he's new to New York and he's trying to figure out where he's going to wind up, and he's crashing on comedians' couches.
Damn, that's so funny.
Yeah. Nice. So I'm sort of doing that, although I'm not new to New York. I've been here for like well over a decade now.
Wow.
So I'm just kind of
weird
crashing.
Weird flex, but okay.
Yeah, I've been just crashing like, you know, on benches and stuff.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Homelessness is no joke.
It's not a joke. No, it's I'm not homeless, though.
Mm.
I just don't have a place right now.
I see. You're in between places, hypothetically.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as you get that girlfriend, then you'll be at a place.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, most of the people I interact with at LOL are men.
Mm. Any fans come by backstage just to say like, hey, Brett, I love your set about socks.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other comics have groupies.
Oh, wow.
I think it's just.
Do you have groupies?
No, I think the groupies have kind of left with those comics, like the prime timers, we call them, the, you know, 9 p.m. 10 p.m.ers.
The prime timers.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm hanging out. I'm seeing all the groupies come and they leave with the bigger names. And
oh
then
my gosh.
You know, they're doing the check drop as I'm just getting up there. So it's tough.
I would love to read a book about comedy groupies called like Super Superhead. There's a really famous book by this woman named Corinne. It's not called Superhead. It's called Confessions of a Video Girl. Mm-hmm. And it's about being like sleeping with everybody in rap and basketball. But yeah. I'd like to read that story about sleeping with comedians. Yeah. Who's going to write that story?
I don't know. I wonder if there's a rock groupie, famous rock groupie that I think her name was Cynthia Plastercaster.
She really?
Plaster casts of all the rock stars' dicks that she would
really
hook up with.
Oh yeah. My gosh.
She had a collection.
It's evolved. It's like so complicated because on one side you're like, wow, this is like very empowering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have groupies? Because not only are you a famous comedian.
I'm not a famous comedian.
You're sort of bridge the world between comedian and pop star.
I do love being a pop star. I love that about myself. Do I have groupies? No, I don't have groupies.
What
I have,
are like, you really, doing wrong then?
I know. I don't. I guess I should sleep with more fans.
Yeah.
I dated a fan once.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that was a bad idea. I stand by that. He's cool, though.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I'm sort of married to this seventh generation bottle here.
Yeah, you're married to the game.
I mean, not literally married to it, but, you know, we're in a... we are...
That's how I feel about my weighted blanket. I feel like I'm in a relationship with my weighted blanket, and I miss my weighted blanket, and I look forward every day to going back home to see my weighted blanket, which I think is a sign of illness.
No. No.
I think I'm so lonely, I'm ill.
I think there must be a word for it, being attracted to inanimate objects.
I literally like hump my weighted blanket. It makes me feel so good because it's so heavy. I want to buy a second weighted blanket so that I'm sleeping under 40 pounds, but mm-hmm. I'm afraid that would like collapse my internal organs.
That is a true worry. It's called object sexuality.
Yeah, well, I have that. I have that hard.
Yeah, and that's me too.
That's you with detergent.
Yeah.
You're the first person I ever told that I wanted to fuck my weighted blanket.
I think that you should get that out on stage or maybe write a song about it.
Ooh, I want to fuck my weighted blanket.
You know, I actually, I do songs.
Oh, you do? Should we do a duet?
I didn't really plan one.
Oh, wow. The sign of a good artist is the ability to freestyle.
I wish I...
That's not true, also.
Are you familiar with the song Bad Guy by Billie Eilish?
I love that song. Bad Guy. Duh. I like the song with Justin Bieber. Mm-hmm. That one is very good.
I don't know that one.
It's really catchy because he goes, duh.
Oh, okay.
Because he was portrayed as a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
by society.
Is he the one that says duh in that song?
Well, yes, he does say duh, and it's really hot. Yeah. And
in Bad Guy?
In Bad Guy. No, no, no. In the Bad Guy, the remix featuring Justin Bieber. And the cover art is of Billie Eilish with her Justin Bieber photos as like a 10-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's honestly very meta and cool.
I'll give you a little taste of you know, my art.
Okay, let's hear it. Is this Bad Guy the remix?
This is Bad Guy. But it's a laundry guy.
Okay, let's hear it.
Yeah. Here we go.
Yeah.
And I'd love some notes because you're sort of an expert at this.
I love it. This is hot.
And it's sort of about what I've been talking about.
Mm.
White shirt, now red blood on my clothes. Now I have a bad broken nose, but my body will recompose. I've got to clean these clothes.
Duh.
Bruises, my face all black and blue. I'm more worried about residue. Where's a mat I can run into? I can get a cycle through. So you're a tough guy, picking fight with drunk guys. Need to feel a rush guy, dress always a puff guy. My shirt has no hurt, that's where all the blood squirt. Even though my face hurt, gotta wash this white shirt.
Ooh!
I'm a laundry guy. Here we go.
Duh.
See,
laundry, 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 laundry.
I should add laundry, laundry, laundry.
Laundry, laundry. Yeah, that was awesome. I think that's a 10 out of 10. Mm-hmm. I'm so proud of you.
And granted, you know, I'm a little tired because I, you know, just been walking around Times Square all day. But
that's like two blocks.
Well, it's you get to the darker corners, you know. There's the you know, the bright, you know, big Times Square.
Yes.
But then, you know, I go down, you know, side streets and stuff.
Side streets of Times Square, but still in Times Square.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll stand outside of like the Broadway plays and wait to see the actors come out and start yelling and try to pick a fight with them.
You're like, hey, Titus, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Don't do that.
I literally did that.
Protect Titus. No, I love Titus.
It seemed like he was interested. I'm going to keep trying.
Ooh, to fight you.
I'm just going to say, come at me. Oh. Come at me.
Have you ever lost a fight?
Yeah. Mm. I kind of get more of a rush from that.
Really?
Yeah. Because I'm not, you know, these guys, they talk about lifting weights and stuff, but I'm more like, I'm a smaller guy. Mm. So I kind of get the face all bloody and then the shirt all bloody and then I wash the shirt.
I see. So fighting is just a means to the end for you. It's just your way of getting closer to Landry, your one true love.
Exactly.
So you could do that. There are much easier ways to do that. You could, for example, roll in mud. That's not violent. And you'd get dirty. Do you do that?
Well, you know, I'm just so full of pain. And the only way to get the pain out is to release it with someone else's face.
Wow.
Fist hitting my face.
This is white radicalization.
Yeah. Okay.
Totally. If you're going to fight people just because you're wound up, you can't do that.
How'd you get into comedy?
How did I get into comedy? I also had pent-up rage, but I put it into productive modes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think I used to do that, and now it's just kind of coming out in pure catharsis.
I've heard about you guys on 4chan.
Yeah. You know, the guys, they talk about these sort of like, I don't know, message boards and Reddit threads and stuff. And, you know, it seems like they have some good ideas.
Mm. Wow. That's so alarming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how I got into comedy.
Yeah. From 4chan?
From 4chan, yes. Okay. I was reading 4chan for its really great poetry on Barack Obama being from Kenya. Mm-hmm. And that inspired me to write jokes. But, yeah. No, I got really into poetry as a young person, and then I realized that like you couldn't, like it's hard to make a living off of poetry, and from my perspective, when I was like 20 years old, and so I found comedy. I interned at Comedy Central, did like Daily Show, Colbert, all that stuff.
Oh wow! Any stories from?
No, I don't have any stories. I was a really chatty intern, so I got a joke on the show on Colbert Report, and so then you know. I was like, oh my God, this is pretty chill. Like, I could totally do this as opposed to being like a nurse, practitioner, lawyer, or doctor, which is what Nigerians typically have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, went back to Chicago for my last year of college, did Onion stuff, and then ended up in New York.
And now you're bossing other interns around.
I'm not bossing other interns. I'm like, other interns, please teach me what it's like to be young. Like, I'm jealous of your Generation Z youth.
You should take advantage because you've been writing on so many shows.
I've written on two shows. Yeah.
Well, Jesus and Miro?
Yeah, I love them. They're perfect.
And then what was the other one you wrote on?
Rundown with Robin Thede.
Robin Thede, yeah.
Yeah. So very cool. Very cool stuff. It was great.
I would take full advantage if I had just somebody to kind of bully around.
Oh, to abuse? But it just sounds like maybe you're a bully.
No.
No.
I can't be the bully because I am the comedian.
Yes, like the Joker.
I am the one with, you know, self-esteem issues and stuff. Because people bullied me.
Yes.
So I'm just kind of, I'm taking that rage and putting it back out into the world.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this, you're an alt-right Landrian.
I don't think we need to get political about this.
Yeah, but you're not alt comedian. You're alt right Landry.
No, I don't think I'm into the, you know, the conservative viewpoints.
Mm.
However, I do like people that kind of cause a stir.
Oh, I see.
I've been trying to get the LOL to book Milo.
Milo.
Yeah. Just to kind of see what would have, just add a little anarchy into it.
Anarchy. You keep returning back to this and it's terrifying.
You know, I just keep see people coming out of the Joker screenings late at night.
And what
sometimes
do you do?
I stand outside of the movie theater.
Oh, just to see who watched the film.
Yeah. Well, I know just to see who's going to fight me because I feel like that's, you know, what they say is, you know, these people are going there kind of looking to cause trouble. So.
You know, you shouldn't do that.
I don't know.
This is scary.
I think it's not scary.
I think it is scary.
I think it's cathartic.
What's cathartic?
It's not like I'm wearing clown makeup or anything.
But if you were, that'd make it slightly better.
Really?
Yes.
It would be like, watch out for this guy.
Yes, exactly. I know. It's worse when the bad guys are in plain sight. No pun intended.
Well, as the Laundridian, I wear this sort of like all white outfit. Just sort of like your friendly like laundry guy.
Yes, with a nice sharp hood.
Yeah. Well, no. It's more of like a painter's cap and like, you know, sort of like.
With eye slits.
No. I see where you're going. It's slightly different than that. It's less of a robe and more of sort of like a unitard.
A unitard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. You know, it's a little stylish. You know, I kind of, you know, strut around, then, you know, I get it bloody and stuff.
Yes.
And it's my blood.
It's your blood. Hey, shout out.
Yeah.
To Fashion Nova by Bull O'Connor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm hoping I inspire some looks, you know?
Yeah, I think you'll definitely get people looking at you.
Mm-hmm. Sort of like an Andrew W.K. sort of thing where it just got like a splash of red.
Who's Andrew W.K.?
He did that song, "It's Time to Party, Let's Party," that everybody liked for like a minute in 2003 and then no one ever liked again.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of that before. Was it in a movie?
I think it was in a bunch of commercials and stuff.
Ooh. Yeah. I realized that there's a bunch of music I'm missing out on. I remember doing your show once. The what's it called show in Shea Stadium?
The Macaulay Culkin show.
The Macaulay Culkin show once, and I did a bunch of jokes that, and I had, so prior to this show, mm-hmm. I had watched "I'm Not Your Negro" by James Baldwin, mm-hmm. so I was like in a very like mood. I was in a mood where it's just like white devils. Like I was like on some James Baldwin shit, and then I remember I did a bunch of jokes that did not do well, and the only joke that really hit was me talking about how the crowd looked like they listened to Rush, and then it was like raucous applause, like laughter, like I don't know who Rush is, and so that to me, I always will feel like very disparate.
Yeah. It's a solid burn. So
I thought Rush was good. People like Rush.
I think Rush is, people that like Rush are often Canadian. Mm.
Are they Canadian?
I think they're Canadian.
What's Rush's most famous song?
Does
it go beep beep? Gotta get to the turnpike.
Their most famous song is Tom Sawyer. You might have heard it on bad classic rock radio. I'm not okay.
I've never heard this song before in my life.
The world is the drum kit is love. Just imagine what a city in the future looks like. That's what the drum kit looks like. A lot of cymbals.
That's wild. I've never heard. This is cool. This is cool.
Yeah, it's fine. And, you know, looking at Rush back in the day, they do it with exactly like the Shea Stadium crowd. But that's a niche audience. That's what I'm trying to get away from.
Oh, you're trying to get away from the niche audience.
Yeah. I don't need that.
But those are your people.
Not anymore.
You're abandoning your flock. Mm-hmm. Your flock.
Yeah. I now want the Rush fans. Now I want like the Van Halen fans.
What are the Van Halen fans? What are the Rush fans? What's typical of them?
I don't know. They're typical.
What does that mean?
I've been searching these audiences that are like arty and you know, cool and have good taste and are smart and politically aligned with my own tastes. And I'm just kind of seeking
treatment.
Oh, no, but check out Seek Treatment on the Forever Dog Podcast network.
PlayStation.
I'm just trying to be a broadly appealing comic, you know?
I feel that.
A Jim Jeffries type.
Ooh, yeah. Jim Jeffries, famous. I started doing like metal music, screamo music. That's been really weird.
You started doing it live.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I have a screamo song. But it's wild because the audience is totally different than what I like and what I'm used to.
Yeah.
Because people like the people who like that stuff are wild in the best way possible. So, yeah.
So your shows, you're like, you got like a little pit.
I'm trying to get, like, I saw the Travis Scott documentary, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh yeah, that shit is lit. Like, if you can get people to mosh in your show, that's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
So I definitely want, that's like a life goal for sure.
Yeah.
I've gotten people to mosh. Like one time I was performing at Triad Theater and people were like going so hard and screaming and like taking off their shirts and shit and like stomping that part of the ceiling like fell off. Wow. Yeah. It was lit.
That's very punk of you.
I think I'm punk.
Yeah.
I like Rush. Is that punk?
No. It's insanely not punk.
Oh, really?
Punk was literally the answer to Rush.
Punk is Rush alt? Alternative rock?
I suppose there's maybe we're alternative, but I think they're more proggy classic rock.
You know that I can't think of you without thinking of Rush?
Weird. I don't like Rush.
Oh, that's so
But I'm learning to like it. We're kind of at this weird crossroads where I'm sort of selling out who I was prior. And being sort of less punk.
Yeah.
And you are embracing it more.
I'm becoming more punk.
You're going from pop to punk.
Pop to punk, yeah. Well, I always like the Pixies. I like that song. Mm-hmm. Hey, been trying to meet you. Is that punk?
I'd say Pixies are on the punk.
They're punk or they're not punk?
They're punky, but they're not.
Who's punk?
Well, the Sex Pistols, Sex the Ramones.
Is Blondie punk?
Blondie was technically considered punk because I think they played at CBGB, but they're more of a pop band.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn. I did a. You know your music, yeah.
Yeah. I'm a big music expert. I did a whole. Again, this is not something I'd really continue to do because I'm seeking this broader audience, but I did a whole show of Blondie covers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn.
It was fun. None of them were really. I think when you try to do a full. Tribute to a specific artist and then also make all their songs about laundry, it gets a little repetitive.
I could see that. I could totally see that not shining like it maybe deserves.
Mm-hmm.
Blondie.
I'm not the kind of girl who's at the laundromat. Yeah.
Laundromat.
Yeah.
And then it goes, the tide is high because it's tide.
Tide is mine. I had this ex, I had this Tide bottle named Heidi.
Oh, it's your ex?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a questionable.
Well, it's not that questionable. Now I've got Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
Seventh generation. I mean.
So you're just coming into the laundry?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Well, you know, I need my release however I can get
but
it.
But then how do you clean? Do you use the detergent?
Self-cleaning.
Oh, the detergent cleans the cum? Ew, that's so gross.
How do you think? How do you think you get cum out of stuff with detergent? Hey, you know, I'm proud. I'm proud of who I am.
Yuck. You know what? I've been watching a lot of Big Mouth. That show makes me so horny.
It does.
Does that make you guys horny?
I haven't had a Netflix account since Joe.
Oh my God.
So I'm real, real happy for everybody involved. But
happy for the Netflix. I'll give you my password. It's my ex-boyfriend's password.
I don't have computer access.
Do you have a computer you could borrow?
I guess there's one at the club, yeah.
Yeah, there's gotten to be one at the Chuckle Hut.
Yeah, but they use it to like for ticketing.
Mm-hmm. Ticketing? Oh, I see.
Yeah, just they're like, you know, checking in. Then
yeah. You
sometimes
can't watch
I, sometimes I'm it. Like, hey, can you Google what rhymes with detergent or something? Because I'll be, you know, working on a thing, and then they're like, I'm working right now, and then I say real quick. And then they're just like, okay. And they kind of like shift to the side and I sort of like get in their space and type real fast.
Oh, that's some physical comedy.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not really meant to be a show, but you know, some people do get a little kick out of it because they're waiting in line and they're like, oh, is this part of the show?
Yeah. Life's a stage.
Yeah. And then I'm like, no, I'm just looking up something real quick.
One second.
Yeah.
Wild.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing really well.
It sounds like you're doing well whenever someone... insist that they're doing well, they're always doing their best.
What's your laundry routine like?
My laundry routine is I start to run out of underwear.
Mm-hmm.
And then
the poop.
Yeah, because I toot every single time I use my underwear, I toot. And then I have to throw it into a plastic bag full of my toot and my underwear. No, that's not true at all. Why?
It would be something to be ashamed of.
It would be something to be ashamed of.
It wouldn't be.
If I tooted every single time in my underwear, then I just need new underwear. You can't fucking wash that.
Oh, you can.
Ew. There's a lot of bodily fluids in this podcast. Mm-hmm. More than I expected. I thought that I was going to come on to the laundry podcast and it'd be about cleanliness, but it's actually about soiling and dirtiness.
No, it's about getting clean.
I don't know if you're trying to get clean, man. It seems like you got a problem with this laundry. You need to cut it off cold turkey.
I think laundry is the one thing kind of keeping me grounded. Because everything else is like in search of a rush, whether I'm on the stage or, you know, prowling, looking for a fight or just a place to sleep. The laundry is, I enter the laundromat, it's the cacophony of cleanliness rushes over me. I'm in the corridor of dreams. It's sort of my meditation for the day. And I do it every day.
You do laundry every day?
Yeah.
It's a lot of laundry. That's a lot of water. That sounds bad for the environment.
But I'm using seventh generation now.
No, it doesn't matter. You still... Well, actually, I don't know. Who owns seventh generation?
They're owned by... it's just the seventh generation company. It's a bunch of all natural...
Yeah, but there's someone owns that company.
I'm helping the environment.
Okay. No, I'm saying...
Because I'm not using Tide anymore.
But I'm saying, I guess I respect whoever owns it. I respect mm-hmm. every brand because I personally love brands.
I don't respect Procter & Gamble anymore.
Oh my God, you have to stop saying that.
No, they've betrayed me.
No, you really shouldn't.
You heard how good I am at writing these songs and they come out and they write... They had Kenan Thompson do this. I'm sure you heard about this whole SNL cast member scandal.
No, what happened?
Kenan Thompson wrote a laundry song. It made me real upset.
Wow, well, that's on you.
No, it's not on me.
Yeah, you should have gotten your shit out faster if it really was that good. I'm Team Kenan.
I am actually anti-Kenan. Listen to the garbage.
Oh, my goodness. You're so messy. This football go, it's like run, run, punt. Oh, I saw this commercial. I'm parading my socks, plus my colors in white.
So toss in some Tide and watch it swirl on your clothes.
Are they paying for you to play their commercial?
No, I'm playing it as protest because I've literally written...
You're advertising them as protest.
Hundreds of songs. Literally hundreds of songs
about
Tide.
Well, that's on you.
The tide is high and I'm falling in
love.
That
was you?
Yeah.
What year was that? That was like 1984.
Well, no, that was Blondie in like 1984, but that was my version in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so many songs about...
I think you deserve whatever's coming to you, and I love and respect Procter & Gamble as well as Seventh Generation and Kenan. You're on your own over here. You're a ship without a sail, man. You're an island in the ocean.
I'm in a trance, turn inside out all of my pants, got all my Tide, my favorite brand. That was another song I wrote about Tide.
Wow.
They could have picked any of the pre-existing ones.
You know.
Save the copywriter work for giving Kenan Thompson, you know, because that guy hasn't done enough, like, you know, rap songs.
You're so messy. Why are you so messy?
I'm not messy.
Yes, you are messy. For someone who loves detergent so much, you're so messy. You need to clean your shit up.
I am. If there's anything, it's that I'm clean, unless you catch me between
the
hours.
No, you're messy. If I had to rate you on the messy scale, messy one, messy being Barack Obama and Andy Cohen, you're on the Andy Cohen side, messy.
I don't understand that.
If I had to put you on the messy scale, and one is a...
Andy seems like he's a very clean person.
He's messy. You're messy.
Are you talking about messy in the head?
Yes. Think about it like this. If I had to compare you to a clean pile of clothes or a dirty pile of clothes, you dirty pile of clothes. You messy.
That's the meanest thing anyone's ever said.
Yeah, you messy as hell, man. Mess. You need to get some detergent without cum.
What's your laundry routine like?
My laundry routine is I've run out of underwear and then I take my stuff to my local laundromat and then I pick it up 6 hours later.
Yeah, it's really, you're trusting these weird strangers with your most private.
Do you think that they're going to do something bad to it?
I think they always do something
You really
bad
think
to
so?
It. Yeah.
What do you think they do?
Because I ran on my own laundromat. I did weird things with the clothes.
But then I don't want to do it myself. It takes too long. No. I don't want to sit there. That place sucks.
That really hurt my feelings.
Laundromats are dimly lit. You can't take a good selfie in a laundromat.
Laundromats are always very well lit.
They're always horribly lit and dirty. There's so much grime for a place about clean.
It's truly the cleanest place you could go. That's where cleaning happens.
It's the opposite of cleaning. It's dating Elon Musk. Just call it Grimes.
Fluorescent light is maybe the most like widely and cheapest option for lighting large spaces.
Wow.
I think you're wrong. And you really hurt my feelings when you call me a pile of dirty laundry.
You are a pile of dirty laundry. You smell like a sock. You sock boy.
A clean sock?
Dirty sock. Dirty sock. Don't stop. That's my song. How about that? You know that song Pop?
Yeah.
That's you, Dirty Sock. Sick and tired of hearing all these dirty socks talk about. That's you talking about shit.
Well, if you did it pod, then you could like do a song about like, you know, sort of like, I want to say Tide Pod, but like a Downy Pod.
Mm.
And then, you know, like.
Data Pod.
Downy Pod.
Don't stop.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not bad.
Sick and tired seeing all these stains I want to get out.
Out. What's the deal with this dirty life and when we going to find out?
This is pretty great.
I know. What a great song. Who knew?
You know,
should we release that record?
We're both at crossroads, but I think this might be the perfect time for both of us. It's like when Michael Jackson, like Paul McCartney came in. Maybe it wouldn't have happened any other time in their career.
Wait, what happened with that?
They did a record together.
Oh, what song? What record?
I'll play it for you.
I heard about this, but then didn't someone get mad because someone owns the other's masters?
Yes.
So McCartney owns Michael's masters or vice versa?
Michael owns...
He bought McCartney's masters.
But yeah. It's a fun song with a fun video too. It's just like two friends having a good time.
Oh, I wanted to talk about that.
Maybe this could be us. Through the years, I can't just stand the year. My place and fire. You know, they've got these like
this is the hit single from this album?
I wouldn't call it a hit single.
What's the hottest song? I want to know what the hottest song on this album.
It's this.
This song?
This is, I mean, they did a single together, so it's really just this.
So I've never heard that song in my life.
Well, there's also The Girl Is Mine off of Thriller.
And Paul McCartney's on the song.
I guess this is maybe the hit.
And Paul McCartney's on the song.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
Rhythm McCartney and Jackson.
Mm. And so Michael bought McCartney's masters.
I mean, I don't
but just
know
for
the
this
whole story.
Record?
I don't know. I think he did it for a while.
Damn.
And then...
Paul McCartney's rich.
Yeah, so Sony ATV owns the rights to millions of songs from the Beatles.
Wow.
Michael Jackson had a 50% share of Sony ATV. And then after his death, they paid $750 million to his estate to get the songs back.
Wow, that's low.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Well, this was fun.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. We went on a tangent about music.
My feelings are still hurt.
Good. You're a dirty sock boy.
Don't call. I thought we would, because we're kind of like closing things, wrapping it up. I thought maybe you'd take back the hurtful things you said.
I would never take back the hurtful things that I said.
We just had a nice collaborative effort.
We did.
That Downy song can be yours. Well, no. I no? Actually, that would kind of be... encroaching on my thing.
I also love Downy. Love me some detergent.
Hey, Downy's great, but you know, it's I'm a 7-Gen E guy now.
7-Gen E. What are you doing?
Just kissing.
You're weird.
Kissing the Tide bottle.
You're sick.
I mean, Jenny Generation bottle.
Oh my gosh.
It's been a pleasure getting plugs.
Follow me on Instagram, guys. I'm trying to make it a thing.
Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, you sicko. Nerdy sock.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.